Welcome, everybody, to May 6th in the Gospel of Mark. This is our Mark in May journey as we walk our way through Mark's Gospel. And today is Wednesday, May 6th. And don't forget, tonight at 7 is our discussion group that you're welcome to join in this email that which you received this recording. There's also some information about a Zoom meeting. And if things go as planned, all you need to do is to click on that link to the meeting and you'll be in it. And then you'll have to figure out, if you haven't done it before, how to talk and how to mute your microphone when you're not talking and things like that. But it's pretty fairly simple, so I hope it goes well. Let's move on to today, though, right? We're already here. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful morning. There goes. Open those blinds up, and that sun is just pouring into that window. It's landing right on the words of the gospel, just as it should. We're going to have two great little segments of the Gospel of Mark today. We're going to finish chapter 4, when Jesus now not only takes control of demons and takes control of physical healings, Jesus is going to take control of the weather, okay? Take control of nature, just in case you had any doubts. And then my favorite story, I think, in Mark, when we really take it seriously, Jesus heals the Gerasene demoniac. And a lot of people don't know this story, and to me, it's just one of the most important stories there is about how far we're willing to go to love like Jesus. And the answer, of course, is there are no limits. And this is a good story for today. So, without further ado, let us welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit into our listening time here, knowing that that's the Spirit in our hearts, that's inside of us, that's going to open up these words, this gospel, just open it up to God and make it a revelation for us in terms of how God wants us to hear these words today and what they may mean for each one of us individually. So Holy Spirit, be with us. Fill us with your light and your wisdom. Show us the way forward as we hear these words and create visions for us of who you want us to be and what you want us to take from this. Now just take a few seconds to let that settle and to clear out some space. Maybe have a sip of tea. Today is just the simple Trader Joe's green tea. I love green tea. Started my whole tea fetish really with green tea, and always good to go back to it. The sandalwood and the vanilla are oozing out of the candle. And we are at verse 35 of chapter 4. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. Let me repeat that. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe, and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. Chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any more, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke into pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. And we'll stop our reading for Wednesday, May 6th, right at that point. Verse 21 of chapter 5 is where we'll pick up tomorrow. Two stories, two very different stories, two stories that give us the limitless power of Jesus Christ, essentially over everything, over the universe, because indeed that's who he is. We're going to read through them again, going to try to do things a little different, a little bit different, and finding that rhythm, right? I hope you kind of felt that spirit during those stories. Let's start again with verse 35 in chapter 4, and I'll do a little commentary as we go. So quiet down, settle in, open your hearts. Let's go walk with Jesus. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him. and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Chapter 4, verse 38. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The fear and the finality in that question for Jesus from us is one that really haunts us in our lifetime. We have a great fear of many things, and most of all, death. And we want, of all things, for God to remedy. We want God to remedy death. And indeed, Jesus will do just that. So the question they're asking him in the boat as he's sleeping through a violent storm, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" is just filled with irony and paradox. The fact that you have a fear of perishing, well, what Jesus will do for that will be just conquer death. That's all. He'll take care of that. Don't worry. He's got it. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Continued, "He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?'" Of course, another one of those universal, eternal questions. We live in a culture of fear that convinces us there are many, many things we need to be afraid of and gain security and safety over, because the world is basically a scary place. And Jesus has a question for you. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So that's a good question for you too. Just as these disciples who asked that question have been walking with Jesus now through four chapters, and they still ask that question, "Who then is this?" And so do we. We've seen him perform many healings. We've seen him exorcise many demons. We've seen him pronounce great teachings. And now he exhibits control even over nature. And thus ends chapter 4. On to chapter 5 in this wonderful story. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke to pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. So now that we're on the theme of fear, let's introduce probably the single most fearful character that will appear to us in the Gospel of Mark, the Gerasene demoniac. Notice in the first verses, they came to the other side of the sea, all right, and verse 2, and when he had stepped out of the boat, meaning one person, meaning Jesus, meaning not the disciples. The disciples, there's no evidence they stepped out of the boat. Of course, they just had a harrowing evening on the sea and were scared to death, as they exclaimed to Jesus. And now it appears they choose not to get out of the boat to encounter this man from the tombs. Wonder where we would be in that situation. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? You see, as has been the case throughout the Gospels, the demons are the ones who know Jesus best. They know him by name, and they know who he is. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And that's a game changer. If we could learn in the face of fear, confusion, perplexity, misunderstanding, ignorance, if we could just learn to carry this question in our back pocket instead of some of the other things that come out of our mouth. What is your name? No matter how different you are from me, no matter how much fear I may have for you, no matter what your past is, no matter how scary other people think you are, what is your name? And now we have a relationship. Now we have a chance at a relationship. And he tells him some of his story. He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And of course, he's referring to the demons. A man with many demons, right, is a man who needs Jesus Christ, or at least needs his disciples. "For we are many." That comes, of course, "My name is Legion," from the Roman army. A legion would be 1,000 or 5,000 troops. That would be a legion. So that refers to the many demons he has. "He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country," the demons. The demons do have power. "Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, 'Send us into the swine and let us enter them.' So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea." Telling us that while demons have some power over human beings, we have some ability to arrest their power, but creatures do not. And the demons immediately drove the herd of 2,000 swine into the ocean, over the cliff and into the ocean, which could not have made the village people very happy. Verse 14, "The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country." And I'm sure their version of the story was very much against Jesus and what he had done, the catastrophe that had happened on the side of the mountain with the swine. "Then people came to see what it was that had happened, and they came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid." So interesting how people are reacting to Jesus in this story. They're mad at him because they lost the swine, never mind that he healed the major terrorist in their life, right? And then they see what happened to the terrorist, the Gerasene demoniac, and they're afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The Decapolis is an area in the Holy Land of 10 cities. That's Decapolis, 10 cities. Jesus says exactly this to you as well. He says this, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." Remember, we're having this problem, this paradox of Jesus asking people not to mention a word about him, and they can't keep their mouth shut. They have to tell everybody about him. And then he asks us to go and tell everybody about him, and we usually decide not to say much at all, if anything. And thus ends our reading for today. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll continue in chapter 5, verse 21 tomorrow, and let's end today with the voice of Jesus, who has this to say to us. Do not search for security in the world you inhabit. You tend to make mental checklists of things you need to do in order to gain control of your life. If only you could check everything off your list, you could relax and be at peace. But the more you work to accomplish that goal, the more things crop up on your list. The harder you try, the more frustrated you become. There is a better way to find security in this life. Instead of scrutinizing your checklist, focus your attention on my presence with you. This continual contact with me will keep you in my peace. Moreover, I will help you sort out what is important and what is not, what needs to be done now and what does not. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, your circumstances, but on what is unseen, my presence. Amen. I hope to see you and hear from you tonight during our discussion chat at 7 p.m. And if not, until then, we'll meet again tomorrow. And may God's blessings be with you.